This is Speaking of Purpose, where we talk to real people making real change. Maya Colombani is the Chief Sustainability and Human Rights Officer at L'Oréal Canada, and she's making big change. Since stepping into her role, she's helped L'Oréal Canada reach 100% renewable energy across its facilities, eco-design nearly all of its products, and build powerful partnerships with Indigenous communities to help restore ecosystems. But what really sets Maya apart is how she brings strategy and passion together.
Sustainability is always a top priority. We believe in the power of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And for us, it's a value that L'Oréal have in her DNA, and it will never change.
She isn't about just checking boxes. For her, it's about weaving environmental sustainability and human rights in every part of the business. Maya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I really love your introduction and I am honored to be there with real people that have real commitments. So we have so much to share together.
Yes, let's jump right into it. Maya, you've been with L'Oréal for almost 24 years and mid-career, you shifted from marketing to sustainability. And I have to believe that there was something in there that sparked that change for you. So tell us how you got so passionate about this career path.
In fact, sustainability and marketing can have common points. What I really love in my career in marketing, it's all about listening to your society and people and understanding them, their needs, be empathic. And what I have done in the first part of my career, it's really understanding the difference of culture from India to Brazil, worldwide, and understanding what is the meaning of beauty, because I work for L'Oréal. And I always have been beyond just beauty and beauty product, understanding the culture, some shift, some new necessity in the world. And I was one of the first to valorize Brazilian biodiversity and to incorporate Brazilian biodiversity inside my own product that I was doing for L'Oréal. So I always use my marketing power, innovative power for good. And my two obsessions was always having a positive impact with nature and bringing more fairness and inclusion with people. So at the end of the day, it was a natural shift. And when I was in Brazil, my president asked me, "You are probably the best leader, the more legitimate leader to handle sustainability as you push the border, you push all our team to be more natural, to respect more nature and including the different community." So I say, I am in. Sustainability, it's all what I believe in. But it's not something new. It was since the beginning from my childhood, in all the decision I took, I'm always go to a country that have a meaningful culture, with great community, but also a beautiful nature. So if you have to define me, I'm a big lover of nature and people.
Beautiful. And so now you are in this role and we'd love to hear more about your goals as a CSO and how they link to your vision and your values as a company.
Alors, first, I have the most beautiful job in the world, but also the worst one. The most beautiful job in the world. Why? Because it's really about reinventing the system. It's not about separating economical growth, but building a new economy that is positive for nature and people. So it needs a lot of creativity, but also a lot of collaboration. So that I really love this part of my job. And what I love in that is also all L'Oréal under it. Just to tell you, for us, we are leader worldwide. We are present in 150 different countries. But for us, this leadership means also the duty to contribute for our society. So sustainability, it's not a small job for EP people and we ask sometimes what they believe in. No, no, it's really totally integrated in our value chain, but also in the way we operate. So that make me Totally connected with my job because it's truly a top priority for the group at the top level for my CEO worldwide. And just to give you an example of governance, for example, I'm directly reporting to the president of L'Oréal Canada. I am in the executive COMEX. When I speak, they listen to me. No more, no less than the traditional business. And my business know how much we create value. Value for our retailer, for our consumer, for people, but also for all the society. So they know that is virtuous. So for us, really, sustainability is a new way to operate, a new way to take decision, a new way to integrate all the value chain and to create a new positive society for all.
I love that, Maya, that concept of it being a new system and a new way of doing business. I think that's really in line with what we've seen with some of the top leaders in this industry. So it doesn't surprise me to hear that from you. Also doesn't surprise me to hear that when you're at the table and you speak, people listen. That absolutely doesn't surprise me. But what I would say is I imagine that that there are, you know, very audacious goals that the company is holding, you know, with you being at the executive level of this being kind of a top priority. And I imagine those goals really do require significant investment and strategic alignment across your business. And what I often hear from people in your roles or in sustainability roles more generally is that they'll characterize themselves as internal change agents, right? And in fact, I saw that you referenced this great statement. You made this great statement in a recent article where you said, I am an expert in everything and nothing. I just drive change. So tell us how you get the buy-in to set, you know, big goals or targets and undertake change at this scale.
Wow, powerful question.
Big question.
It's first I define myself as a hacker for good. I think there is a lot of strength, for example, in my own business, in L'Oréal. So I identify this trend. For example, in L'Oréal, it's all about innovation, quality, but also people. We really love different personality and everything. So how do you drive change in this positive context of innovation, strong innovative power, but also we have a lot of investment too. We have a lot of impact, biggest player in the world. I am in your bathroom, in your mother bathroom, in your daughter bathroom, your best friend bathroom. We have 38 brands. We are talking about millions of products. So we are big. How do you drive change? Answering to the why. But the why of each person can be different. Your why can be you are in love with nature. The why for somebody in the commercial side can be you will reinforce your connection and the value with your retailer. The why for communication can be, look, if we do good stuff, you will have a lot of content for your communication strategy. The why for human resources, look, the new generation expect us to be sustainable, to be bigger than just producer of beauty product. So you will attract the best talent and you will retain your good people. So you have to adapt the why and you have to establish also a clear vision with clear target. On this target, you have always to shoot the moon. That is really important, but you have also to create a virtuous circle to engage your people. Me, I never blame the people that are doing wrong, but I overvalorize the one who are doing well. And I create a kind of superhero model and virtuous circle to make the people wanted to change their habits. Because sustainability is all about changing habits. I have also, in terms of governance and driving change, what I call the burger strategy, but green burger, sustainable, healthy burger. I always bring sustainability at the top of the company. So my president always talk about sustainability. In the top five priority of L'Oréal Canada in our frame, you will always find sustainability. You will always have where we are, where we go, our success. But also, if you go at the bottom, all the value chain is integrated in my sustainability committee. And wherever the good idea of innovation, upgrading a process to make it more sustainable come from, we will always take it into account. So by using the power of the youth, but also the people that are really on the field, that see all we can improve and giving them a voice, but also using the power of your CEO, your executive committee, you will drive the change because it will come from top down, but also bottom up. So we work very strongly on that. To set the target, we follow the international target and we always try to do better than what they expect us. If they ask me to be 100% renewable energy for 2025, I have been 100% renewable energy in 2022. We always want to drive this pride that we are doing it because it is the right way to do business. For example, we want to be the first Waterloo factory in the region of Quebec. So what does it mean? We don't want to waste one drop of water in our production process. It costs us millions of investments. The international target is to be ready for 2030. We will target to be ready for 2027 because we always want to be more ambitious than the international target. So it's a way of working in L'Oréal Canada, a personal, also personal ambition that I try to spread to all my comics, but also my president ambition, and also our collective ambition. People want to do good. So we always try to have more ambitious targets than the international team. And I give you another example. For example, at the beginning of the year, we have a lot of movement worldwide and backlash on DEI or sustainability. What we have done in L'Oréal Canada, we accelerate. We commit even more publicly. We sign the carbon neutral challenge from the Canadian government. We invite the Minister of Environment and Climate to discover all what we do. So when it's tough, it's when you stand up. Because for us, sustainability, it's not about department or expertise. It's our value. It's what we are and what we stand for.
I was just going to say, as I was hearing you speak about it, it feels like there are very specific values within the culture of the organization that create the right, like the fertile ground for this innovation, for this courage. Actually, what you're describing is courage, Maya, which we haven't seen as much as I think either of you, either of us would have wanted to have seen this this last year and this last 9 months. And you touched on the topic of DEI as well. And so I'd love to just go there for a minute, right? We know that brand reputation plays a very significant role for many companies when they're talking about sustainability for the reasons you talked about in terms of providing content or attracting talent that's passionate. What would you say L'Oréal weights more heavily in investing in sustainability and DEI? Is it actually more about business or is it more about ethics? How do you see that balance working together?
It's about both. You don't have a resilient business if you don't create value on all the different aspects. And economical value, it's amazing, but it's not just the only one. You have to create value for people and for nature. So if you look, for example, at L'Oréal Value on the shareholder market, you will see we are growing, growing, and we are super solid. So our financial results are very great and resilient because our extra financial results are amazing too. We are a leader on ethics. We are a leader on DEI and gender equity with a certification edge. We are the only company in the world to be 8 years in a row certified by the CDP in terms of respect for climate, forest and water, the only company in the world. So when we do something, we do it well. And even though for the shareholders, for all the external stakeholders, it demonstrates that we are solid. So true solidity in business, it's not just about focusing about margin and sales. It's about building a business that is meaningful for the society, for the community, and respectful of nature. So I always say, I'm not extra financial, I'm intra-financial. If you want a strong business, you have to take care of your people, of community and nature. And for L'Oréal also, it's really interesting because whatever is happening in the world in terms of movement or backlash, we are always on. Sustainability is always a top priority. We believe in the power of diversity, equity, equity, and inclusion. And for us, it's not about an expertise. It's a value that L'Oréal have in our DNA, and it will never change. We believe that being more sustainable makes us more resilient, and it's also our responsibility to do so. When we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, it's also our responsibility, but also it's also a positive and virtuous circle of creativity, innovation, being connected with your society. So you cannot anymore oppose diversity, equity, inclusion, sustainability to business. The only business that will survive is the one who embraces the complexity of integrated your society inside and nature inside. So it means integrating sustainability and DEI inside your way to operate in the full value chain.
It's so powerful that to you, it's not a dichotomy, that these are forces that work together and are self-feeding. And I think you're absolutely right when you say the future of business is going to be sustainable businesses, because we've seen how, for example, those brands that are willing to stay the course on their values, brands like L'Oréal Canada or brands like Costco, who, regardless of public sentiment and political changes, stay the course, they earn the loyalty of their customers. I think they earn the accolades of the public. People want brands to be committed. And so I just have to say it's refreshing to talk to a leader who's willing to use the words diversity, equity, and inclusion, because it's shocking how much of us have, how many people have changed their language and have really backed off or softened because of the risk. I wanted to ask you if you're able to answer. When you doubled down, when you said, okay, there's been some, you know, recession around some of these standards or some of these protocols, when you decided to stand up and get even stronger and more ambitious, was there any effect in the market or from your customers that you saw?
Yes, a very positive impact externally as well as internally. It's really interesting because I was discussing about it last week. And I say, okay, we see the backlash, we can see the polarization, the complexity of the worldwide geopolitical context, but we have also to be courageous enough and creative enough to see the opportunity. I think nobody doubts about L'Oréal Canada authenticity in our commitments. So that makes me very happy. Because we stand up when it's not easy to stand up. Sustainability, it's not about being trendy or to recruit new consumer. It's a value. Diversity and equity and inclusion, it's not about having a department and doing a great advertising with all the community. No, no, it's not about that. It's about what we believe. We believe that we should represent the society we are serving. Believes of the power of meritocracy, of equity, giving opportunity to all, make us a better player and a better citizen. So I think it's a big opportunity to reinvent all the wheel. And for example, we work hands with shoppers. We work hands with our retailers, sharing our best practice, or we decarbonize our transport. We explain to our retailer all the efforts that we are continuing to do in terms of innovation, circularity, green science, and we inspire even though our supplier to do so. So we reinject energy in the positive wheel of positive impact. So in a way, we continue to promote a movement for good in L'Oréal Canada through all our ecosystem. And if you look internally, we have a, let's call an internal survey. Sustainability, it's one of the biggest pride of our people that work for L'Oréal Canada. And we are still growing in terms of satisfaction on this criteria. Even though this year where it was not such an easy year. And for us, it's a good testimony about how it's meaningful and powerful. When we go to university, there is a lot of new people that say, I never imagined that L'Oréal will do so much in the Northwest Territory, for example, in terms of reforestation, in green science, in terms of reconciliation with the indigenous community. People are so surprised and so positively impacted that they want to work with us. Different profile, different people. So we recruit more talent too. So yes, the fact to stand up, to speak up, and to continue to advocate for what we believe it is the right way to do business, bring us also very positive and virtuous impact. Internally, externally, and for example, we have won maybe 3 months ago the Mercuriade Award in Quebec as the best company in sustainability and circularity. We have been so proud. And other example, even though on DEI, we have been finalists for the same award. So we are on all the different areas.
Yeah, and it sounds like those awards are real recognition. They're not the motivation. But I wanted to come back to the point you made around your employees. And wanted to ask you how you think about the role of your employees and maybe even your nonprofit partners in your strategy and initiatives. Like, how much does their voice and their engagement matter?
No culture change without people. That is the basic stuff. So I remember when I came to Canada, I share with my president, I will work very hardly on the governance aspect. And we have created the first sustainability committee with 32 experts from all the value chain. So that is a demonstration of how it works. It's all about governance and engaging people. So there is no department in L'Oréal Canada that do not care and that do not have any specific target in terms of sustainability. With our program L'Oréal for the Future, we have to decarbonize our transport, and we are doing so. Promoting electric truck, using maritime biofuel, we are decarbonizing everything. If you go to the factory or the distribution center, we are 100% renewable energy, but we are also certified Ici on Recycle, which means that we have the best practice in terms of circularity. If you look in terms of media, CDMO, they have also a specific target of decarbonization of media. In terms of IT, we are upskilling our people about how they use their IT system, mail, in order to decarbonize all our IT service and usage in the daily life. In terms of marketing, we are really working on being the most representative as possible for all the community, so promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, having different type of influencer, engaging all the community. But we go even so beyond. We have them to be engaged in terms of social impact, as we do, for example, with La Roche-Posay, with a call center with the Canadian Cancer Society to support the families that is affected by cancer. We are fighting street harassment with L'Oréal Paris. We are upskilling a green influencer with Garnier. So it's all the business, all the value chains that can bring their piece of the puzzle to make L'Oréal Canada more sustainable, and all people do so. And it is really clear, even though in terms of end-year evaluation, even though in terms of rewarding and remuneration, sustainability performance, it's also indexed in our final remuneration and promotion at the end of the year. So that is really important for us. It's super tangible. It's the responsibility of the full value chain. And it is also part of our performance when we talk about salary, promotion, and all this stuff like that.
Wow, that's impressive. Right down to the you know, touching the personal finances of people through their compensation. Fascinating, Maya.
But you know, they never do it for money. Huh? But the fact that you impact the financial aspect, it's super powerful in terms of symbol, because it's mean with what you do, you truly create value, and we recognize it. And what I am really proud of, it's all the people that have passed or are in the sustainability committee. Today, they are really doing big jump in terms of career because they have gained a lot of exposure, but also about in terms of soft skill, hard skill. And some of them are super promoted in business area. Others continue in sustainability, but all of them do a positive jump and a step forward in their career. So that also makes it tangible. If you are very performant in sustainability, you are a very valuable professional inside L'Oréal Canada.
Well, yeah, that actually echoes some data that we've seen from other studies. We did a study with Cisco, who's very similar in their true embodiment of their values around purpose. And you know, they saw a very similar connection between people who get engaged in community action and impact and, you know, promotability, performance. And it makes sense, right? Those are going to be the business leaders of the future, because this is the business of the future. So it's really, you're building such a sustainable business model on so many fronts. But I wanted to come back to a point that you made around governance, because, you know, in sustainability, you can see that there are kind of two ways that people can come at this. People who sound a lot like you, Maya, who are very much impassioned and have conviction that this is the way business is done. But you also have people who are really looking at this from a legal and compliance and regulatory requirements perspective. And so, you know, there has been a lot of regulation. There's been, you know, changes on this front over the last few years. I'd be curious to hear just how you strike the right balance between, you know, what you're required of by law, what you want to do. And then sometimes when I've found anyways, when political systems or political leaders step back on this, there oftentimes becomes a question in the company. Well, then do we need to do these things because they're an investment? I'm curious if you face that at all.
To be very sincere, we don't face it in L'Oréal because we don't have to be convinced about why we have to do it. But if we talk about risk management and compliance, the best way to manage it is to be always three steps forward. Because you are not scared about any new regulation. Huh? So to do good, it's the best way to not be in risk at the end of the day. And when it comes to regulation, as for example, the Bill C-59, you know, if you have nothing to hide and you are ready to disclose and you have the number and you have the audit and the external partners and can support what you say, at the end of the day, you are not so scared. There is nothing to hide. So I think more you are committed, better you are managing the risk of regulation, better you are anticipating your society, and you are not depending on any political decision. So I think we don't do it to be compliant, but if you do it truly, it's the best way to be compliant and not being scared by the law, even though to influence the law because you are a good player about it. So I truly think sustainability is not about risk management. It's about value creation, but doing it well and seriously, you will avoid so many risks. And you will be more solid faced to any geopolitical move or trend or crisis. So do it well. It's the best shield you can have in terms of risk.
Yeah, I like that point, Maya. What I'm hearing you say is that when you do this work authentically and commit to the impact, the outcome is that you're better protected against risk, but that doesn't need to be the motivation. And in fact, when that is the motivation, you probably don't get the outcome that you actually want.
You are never good enough when it's about risk management. You are never good enough. Yes. And I just want to, at the beginning, I say I have the best work and the worst work. Worst job. I will explain why. Because in sustainability, you are never good enough. Never good. If you come from negative impact to neutral impact, good, but you can be positive impact. So nobody is good enough in sustainability, but what is really, really key and strategic is to never give up to improve. If you have the right mindset about being humble and factual about what you do, but never give up ambitious in the same way, to improve and to be creative to make it so, you will avoid all the risk. You will be, let's say, future-proof and very and highly resilient. But there is this mix between humility and ambition. And that is really strategic. So creating value, being ambitious is the best way to manage risk.
Maya, that really, really resonates with me. I often think that we'll never get to see the true change that we've invested in our roles because it takes so long for, you know, either nature to regenerate or generational change to happen. And so, yes, you have to be ambitious. You have to be gritty and know that you're working for actually truly creating, you know, a planet that is better for, you know, seven generations. It's that concept of... Yes.
Love it. So I really love your seven generation. I love the seven number, and I love that you integrate the wisdom of indigenous nation in the middle of that. So really love it. Yes, in fact, sustainability, it's about playing the long-term game. It's about collaboration. It's about resilience and agility. But we see the results. I just want to, because for example, in L'Oréal, we have changed so much, for example, our formulas that today we have more than 60% of natural ingredients. And we will continue our effort to continue to empower green science in the cosmetic industry. We see the result because we commit to be more circular. Today, we have 80% of PET plastic in all our packaging worldwide. So, as you say, it's a long-term game, but we see some impact. Even though in L'Oréal Canada, believe me, we are building, we want to be perceived as ally to our indigenous nation. We have been certified by Indigenous Work as a top employer. For us, it's an honor. We are also the partner of the Indigenous School of First Nation, powered by HEC. And I'm part of the advisory board, and I feel so grateful to be part of. So dream big and good things happen, but never play the easy game and the short-term game. So that is really virtuous. Even though when I saw the program of reforestation that we are doing in the Northwest Territory, it's the biggest historical program that is done in the Northwest Territory with Tree Canada. We are working with the Tlisho community, but also the best agroforestry experts. And we are doing something so beautiful in the Northwest Territory, not in the traditional place that where everybody wants to invest, no, in the strategical place for climate. And I would have never imagined that it would have been possible, but thanks to the energy of the good NGO, the right community, the Tlisho community, the humility to say with science and the traditional knowledge together, we will do something far away better than just with one part. Look, we are doing the biggest program of reforestation of this territory, and that makes me happy. So there is something magic in sustainability. Exciting. It's about or we can change the world, yes, by collaborating, by merging our positive energy, by being innovative and very pragmatical, and by fighting for something bigger than us.
I mean, that's spot on. It almost feels like a mic drop moment, Maya. I want to ask you, you referenced this earlier, you know, about being in India, talking about Brazilian beauty, working in Canada, obviously. You've worked across three continents, at least that I've counted, Maya.
Australia too.
Australia. Okay. So what, in your opinion, is universal about this work?
About this work?
Yeah, about sustainability.
Yeah. What is universal? It's first, sustainability cannot be... It's probably the most human job in the world. Because sustainability, it's about having the humility to recognize that we need nature and not nature that needs us. Sustainability, it's about recognizing that we need people and not people doesn't need us. We need the collective power. So there is some wisdom behind sustainability that is so more universal and totally intemporal and eternal that I think is super powerful. If you ask me who I am and how I take my decision, I look nature and people. I don't need more. So at the end of the day, all the sustainability experts, I hope they have this humility to know that they need nature and they love nature. They celebrate nature. They embrace nature. They are grateful for all what Mother Nature gives to us. And what also connects us is also our will to integrate the community, to integrate the difference, and to see it as a richness of life and not segregate or divide the different communities. It's exactly the contrary. It's about merging the collective power, celebrating the difference, connecting, building new ecosystem. There is something about connection, doing together, about agility, and about resilience, about evolution, that is very and highly transversal. And maybe the hard skill about expertise, about decarbonization and circularity will change with the time. But what will never change is the soft skills you need to do this work. Being very factual, highly courageous, very, very empathic and curious, and with this collective mindset of building something bigger than you, with the other, benefiting of the expertise of the other, that is super transversal. And look, me, I have gone from one country to another. If the challenges are not the same, the skills that I use are always the same. Engaging people, building connection, being very pragmatic, evaluate my impact, evaluate my progression, establishing the right governance, creating a culture of love of nature, building bridge between us and the communities, celebrating difference. So it's always the same kind of job, even though in India or in Brazil. But the projects are not the same. In Canada, I will work with different partners. I will focus on reconciliation. I will do my project of reforestation with different partners like Tree Canada in Northwest Territory. Maybe in Brazil, I will focus slightly more on biodiversity, more than just biomass. I will fight maybe a little bit more in Brazil on fighting poverty. So the challenges are not the same, but the skill and the knowledge, the skills that I am using as a human are always the same. It's why when we are together, the sustainability expert, we don't need to talk so much. We have already some values that are common. We are bonded all together. And what is really weird in sustainability, it's a lot of loneliness. Because we are hacker, we are driving culture change, and it's never easy because we are the locomotive that drives the change. So we need to be resilient. But on the other side, we belong to a huge community and we feel to be part of something bigger than just us. So that is really interesting, this, let's say, antagonist feeling of loneliness, about being courageous, of being, of driving the culture change, but also this collective power and excitement to do something for a bigger purpose than us.
Yeah, you've really nailed how I feel in my own work. It's very similar. And I feel bonded to you because those same values are what drive me, right? It's having the courage to say the thing that needs to be said, and the fear that comes with that, and the potential loneliness and difference that you feel when you don't feel that those values are either seen or honored, or, you know, just standing alone, right? And then this feeling of deep connectivity to everything in the universe simultaneously. But what I've found is the moments where you do take that leap, you actually enhance the connectedness, because each one of us actually feels that at the executive table, in the company, in the culture of the organization. And so when you show up with it, it unlocks that very same deep feeling amongst other people, where we know that together we are more than just the sum of our parts. So I totally resonate with what you just said, Maya. And I think this is a perfect segue into the last question I have, which is, as you know, this podcast is called Speaking of Purpose. And so we want to ask you for the final word. What about this topic of purpose needs to be said right now?
Because at the end of the day we are temporary. We are just, we are crossing. I think we are not eternal. We are here in life to celebrate life, beauty, to have connection, to build, to be happy. And purpose, it's about knowing why you put so much energy on something. And there is a lot of people that don't know where they go, why they go to work. They are lost in terms of in their life. They don't. They do a kind of purpose crisis. And I think when you do sustainability, you know. You can be tired, exhausted, you can feel lonely, but you never doubt why you are doing what you do. You can feel guilty because it's not big enough. You would love to be perfect. You would love to scale up even more. But you know that what you do is meaningful for you. So purpose, it's a way to give a sense to your life and to celebrate your inner talent and all the value creation you are doing each day with people, with your family, with your work. So for me, there is no happiness, there is no connection without purpose. And sustainability, for me, is far away the best job you can have, as well as the worst one, because you are always connected and you will never doubt about your job. But the negative side, you are never good enough. The positive side, you will never give up to improve. And you know why. So purpose, it's about knowing why you are there.
I'm pretty sure after listening to this podcast, we'll have many people looking up sustainability as a career. Thank you so much.
You know, I invite people to use their power also to promote and support the society they want to promote the company, to promote the politics, to promote the country that have the same values as them. Because we are not victims of society. We build it. We are part of it. So as each individual, in the way we live, the way we buy, the way we work, the way we interact with each other, we have a lot of power. And most of the time, we underestimate our power. So let's use each individually our power for something that is meaningful, purposeful, that is good in terms of happiness and connection with others and with nature.
Thank you for reminding us that we're all creators, Maya. Thank you for joining us today. It's been honestly such a pleasure connecting with you and being inspired by you. I'm certain that everyone you come into contact leaves a little bit more inspired, a little bit more energized. And so thank you for helping our listeners tap into that today.
Thank you so much. And always count on me to do my best.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories of real people making real change. Till next time.